Huh? How'd you like to say when I go home today, man, I tell you what, church was different today. God did something in my heart I've never had done before. Huh? How'd you like that to happen? All right, God is only a prayer away. Why don't you pray and say, Lord, I am available to whatever you want to do in my life. Speak to me however you want to speak to me. I am here. And I'm ready. I can't hear you. Tell Him that and let Him do that in your life. I'll tell you what, most church services are bland to people because we come to them bland. We haven't salt and peppered them as we ought to in prayer and asking God and seeking Him. And really, we get out what we put in. Seriously, we get out what we put in. How many have ever gone to a ball game? You've gone to a ball game. Did you go to the ball game thinking, oh, I'm going to be bored? No, you went looking for excitement, didn't you not? But we don't do that in church oftentimes. And you say, well, there's nothing exciting. Well, you didn't look for it. Seriously, there is our problem. It's us. First Samuel. And I think I'm in First Samuel. Maybe it's Second Samuel. And chapter number 15. First Samuel, chapter 15. I've got to get the right book. First Samuel, chapter number 15. And I want to read here a number of verses. We're going to read quite a bit this morning. Allow God's Word just to penetrate into your heart. 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1, says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent. And Samuel said to him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today that we can have our hands this Your Word. We thank You for its wonderful words. We're thankful today that every word is dependable. We ask You today to work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we might be open to the leadership of the Spirit of God. You want to make Yourself very real to everyone in this room. Oh God, we might have an open mind and an open heart to that realness. And that You this day might receive the honor and the glory You so wondrously deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I would like to take you to verse number 17 this morning. Verse 17, where it says, Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight. When thou wast little in thine own sight. At his coronation, Saul was what every nation would desire. He was a man that the Bible says stood head and shoulders above the people. He was very tall. He was a big man. And yet we find in Saul a man who was very humble. We find that he had hid himself among the stuff. He was a man of humility, a man who did not want the limelight. And they had to find him in order to crown him their king. But in process of time, we find that Saul made a couple of very drastic mistakes. If you turn back to chapter number 13, just to two or three pages in your Bible, you read, beginning in verse number chapter 13, verse number 8, he got anxious and did not wait for God's man when a crisis had come to the nation of Israel. Notice verse number 8. It says, And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Saul came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. It came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered burnt offerings. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. On this occasion, he was to wait for Samuel that they might be able to go to God and have God's blessing. But rather than waiting the full 7 days, at the beginning or somewhere in the middle of that day, Saul got anxious and took upon himself the duties that belonged to Samuel, and he made that offering. we find in the following chapter, chapter 14, they are in battle. And in battle that day, Saul made a command. In verse 24, it says, "The men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies.' So none of the people tasted any food." We find that with these two mistakes, it seems though that God is about to give Saul another chance. As we begin in verse number 1 of chapter 15, we find that God says these words to us. And allow me to read again. "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." And so as Samuel comes to Saul with the word from God, telling him what he is about to do, he has opportunity now to follow the word of God explicitly. But we find that there is a problem. And we find that the problem is in the heart of Saul. His pride had swollen. He was a man who now became infatuated with himself, and we find that his downfall is imminent. As we study chapter number 15, I'd like for us to notice how the pride of Saul materialized. I wanted you to go with me, first of all, verse number 9, as we take these in order. In verse number 9, it says, Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." We notice, first of all, that in his downfall, he and the people, they kept some of the spoils. So what's significant about that? Well, God tells us a number of things. One of those things is, first of all, they were to slay everything. He went against what God had said. But secondly, we find that God wants us to understand that you and I give glory to God by the increase of the goods that are brought into our possession. And as a result of this particular action, he is now ineligible, really, to bring glory to God and to bring honor to God as the leader of the nation, because he has not been willing to bring all the spoils that God had commanded. It shows a belief that he and his prowess, he and his ability was able to bring this about rather than God. Do you understand today that it's not you and God that make the majority? You have nothing to do with the equation. Do you realize today it's not a matter of whether God helps me to do something? It's a matter of whether God does something. I'm not in the equation. It doesn't matter today if you hear words of this preacher. What matters today is if you hear the voice of God, the Spirit of God, as He seeks to speak unto your heart. There be the important issue. And so often we believe that we are somehow helping God, that we are a portion of that. God needs not our help. We need to be available for God to use as He so sees fit, but it's only because He wants to. And so here we find a man who is now gone. He is doing the direction of God partially, but he believes that he has a better way. He believes that he can do it better than God had directed him, and rather than utterly slay it all, let's bring back the good stuff. Let's bring back the best of it, and we can use that as an offering to God. By the offering that God would have been to taking care of it to begin with. And so we find here a man who has welled up in his pride, believing he has a better way to do it than God. Anytime you get outside of the parameters of this book in your life, and you believe you can do it better than what God suggests you do it, you have entered into the realm of pride. And so we see his ugly head, the ugly head of pride rising up here in the life of Saul. Go down to verse number 13 with me. Verse number 13. "Samuel came to Saul, And Saul said to him, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I have what? Performed the commandment of the Lord." What do we find him doing? We find, first of all, he keeps a spoil. Secondly, he is bragging to God's man. This is God's representative. This is God's man in the person of Samuel. In essence, what he is doing is bragging to God, "I have done what you told me to do." Now, first of all, it lacks a great lack of discernment upon the part of Saul to believe that God's man was ignorant of what he had done. After all, verse number 14, we find Samuel, he said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears?" I mean, it was very evident he had not done what he was told to do. But he is bragging to God's man about it. It's interesting to me that those who are humble don't go around bragging about what they have accomplished. They're not worried about credit for it. They're not worried about who knows or what is known about them. They simply recognize, "Hey, I have done what God wants me to do, and that suffices." But here is somebody who wants to make sure that Samuel knows about it, and he's bragging to him about it. It's a tremendous symptom of what? Pride. He keeps the spoils. He brags about what he has done, though he has not done it completely. Notice verse number 15. Verse 15 says, "Saul said, they have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen." We find also that Saul here, he is saying, and we'll see it in a moment, but he is what? Blaming some other folks. He said, "They have done so." But who is the leader of the land? The leader of the land is Saul. What has he done? He has allowed the people their way. Popularity was more important to Saul than doing the will of God and being popular with God. By the way, understand something. When you're in a position of leadership, you're going to have all these people who come who want their little special favors. They're going to want their exceptions. I mean, fathers find it, pastors find it, employers find it, everybody finds that. There are those who want that. And here, he has allowed that to take place. And he's held responsible for it. But what is that? He wants to be popular. We want to be liked by people. Is that not true? But we also find that God has specific things and places and that which we are to do. And if we are what? More interested in being popular with people, then we are what? Showing forth pride. It has reared its ugly head once again. Notice with me verse number 19 and 20. Verse number 19 and 20. Samuel is reproving him. Samuel is saying to him, "You have done wrong." And notice verse number 19. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." If I can get one thing through to you today, this would be the one I would really like to get through. Here is a man who had pride and refused reproof. Why is he refusing reproof? Why is he refusing to admit to Samuel that he's done wrong? Because in his eyes, whatever he's done is right. You know why people don't get saved? You know why folks today will not get saved? It's because they do not see that they have done wrong. Now, there's a number of reasons for that. Our society has taken the word wrong out of it. Our society today is allowing anything and everything to take place and saying, well, that's our liberties, that's our freedoms that our forefathers died for. They died that we might have liberty to make choices that were right, not choices that were wrong. Jesus did not die on the cross that we could make wrong choices and go in the wrong direction. And here's a man that Saul he's been pointed out by Samuel that he has done wrong. He says, no, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. The toughest thing to get across to God's people and the devil's people is they have done something wrong. And to get us to admit to that. And Saul, he's saying, no, I have done nothing wrong. Matter of fact, anything that was wrong, he says, it's the people, they did that. And so often, what do we find in our society? What do we find in our lives? We are blaming others. You correct your child, and he's going to blame his brother or sister. If he don't have one, there is a person in your house they're probably blaming. He's called not me. I mean, it's our nature. We do it. And Saul, he's saying, no, it's the people. As Adam said, it's the woman you gave me. As the woman said, it was the devil who caused it to happen. And we are in this process of constantly blaming others. I'll guarantee you something. Listen, husbands and wives, get in an argument today, and one of you say something about the other, it will be true, but immediately you will come back with something about that individual. What are you trying to do? Blame it back on them. It goes on and on. We do it. Children do it. Adults do it. We blame other people. And then we find also that in this matter, he, in refusing reproof, is saying, well, we did it for a spiritual reason. We did it to bring sacrifice to you. God said, no, I want them slain utterly. He said, well, we brought them back. By the way, why did he bring Agag back? Was he going to sacrifice Agag? He's the king of the Amalekites. Why did he bring him back? So he could parade him through town and everybody could see that he got him. They weren't going to put him on an altar and slay him. Why did they bring all the sheep back? Why did they bring all the spoil back? Oh, under the pretension of slaying. But we also find they simply wanted it. And he refused reproof. One last thing I want us to notice here this morning. Very, very important for us if we look at it and see it. Verse number 25. Verse number 25, notice what he says. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Now this looks good. Saul is finally saying, I've done wrong. And just turn back with me and let's worship God together. Notice Samuel's answer. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. We find then that Samuel turns to go his way, it says, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said to him, Lord, hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee. Notice the next words. Before the elders of my people and before Israel. His repentance was false. His repentance to Samuel was not because he was sorry for his sin against God, but it was that he might have position with the people. And therein lies the reason for no revival amongst God's people. Because it's about what people think of us, not God. It's about the opinion of others, not God. And it shows forth the pride of our heart. Saul rejected because of pride in his heart. His pride said, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, Preacher, I can be just as close to God in the fishing boat on Sunday morning as I can be in the house of God. My Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We find throughout the book of Acts that they gathered together on the first day of the week. The disciples did. We find it's been the custom of God's people down through the ages. And yet many times and many people say, I can do it my way. It's just as good as what God says. That's simply not the truth. And so we make up all of our own little rules and our own little thoughts. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless in our lives. The worst problem I have faced in my entire life me. The Apostle Paul recognized that so vividly, he said that he must die daily. Dying to selfish desires. Do you realize that there are in this world some very, very wicked men? Seventy years ago, a man came on the scene by the name of Adolf Hitler, who was responsible, he and his henchmen, for killing 6 million Jews. Many of us would look at him and say he was one of the most wicked people that ever walked the face of the earth. That would be probably a true statement, would it not? We'll look at the man Herod, who held Jesus on trial, and Pilate. And we think of these men who could have spared the Lord Jesus. By the way, he'd have died one way or another, because that's what he came to do. We'll look at a man, Judas, who betrayed our Savior. And yet, if we get honest with ourselves, the worst person that we've ever known is right here. But we don't really believe that. But until we come to that spot where we recognize that we're nothing and God is all, we're not going to see salvation. And Christian, we're not going to see sanctification. For He is all in all. And we are nothing. The songwriter said, I'm like a worm. Like a worm. And you and I are too much like Saul. He was rejected. Why? His pride. He thought he knew better than God. Samuel came and said, listen to the word of God. I think it was probably his last chance. Maybe it was his second chance. But he did it his own way. You say, well, preacher, he did 90% God's way. How much of the truth needs to be a lie to make it a lie? Is not a lie passed off best if it has mostly truth? You and I need to take stock in our own hearts and lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, today, work in us. Lord, we are so stubborn in ourselves. We're so much like King Saul. Lord, we're more concerned what people think of us than You. We're more concerned with our own advancement as opposed to You. Oh God, forgive us. Work in our hearts this day. Lord, I pray for any in this room that are without Christ, they might recognize that without Him they are hopeless. Help them to recognize if there's never been that time of real deep repentance, that time where they've really realized who they are and who You are and put their faith and trust in You, that they've been acting like Saul, they've been rejected. Oh God, today work in our hearts. Bless in these moments of invitation. May You be glorified from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask you to stand very quickly and silently. Emily, if you begin to play.